Good morning and welcome to the Steel Apple Fantasy Football Podcast. Steel apples, when brass balls just won't do. Welcome back, my loyal listener. Thanks, Mom. We're here again, Z and D, talking fantasy football, more specifically, talking auction fantasy football. If you listened to us last week, you know that you are indeed a pussy if you're still doing Serpentine Draft. But if you're back with us this week, that means you're less of a pussy.
There's hope yet for you.
There is hope yet. So this week, we're going to talk about some auction strategies, how to set up your auction day, how to set up draft day. But just to reiterate, D, why does Serpentine suck?
It's like jerking off to the same Sears catalog you had when you were a kid, just over and over, respecting everything to get better. It never gets better.
It's the Sears catalog.
Same old thing. You got to try something different.
You could have literally picked any other publication. You could have gone with Sports Illustrated Swimsuit Edition with Carol Alt on the cover. You could have went with a Cheryl Teagues poster. Where'd you get the catalog? The Five and Dime? Come on. And what are you jerking off to? Hedge Clippers? It's Sears catalog. What, an espresso machine? No, you got a monkey wrench stuck up your ass? Come on, man. The Sears catalog? You got to be kidding me.
You got to move on and move up.
You do. You do. Serpentine drafting was the rage back in, what, the 1990s?
Yeah.
We've been auctioning for about 24, 23 years, and we won't look back. We won't do a Serpentine draft again. The reason being, okay, if you get the 10th pick, the 9th pick, 8th pick, you have no chance at McCaffrey. You have no chance at Cook. Maybe you're not even Devontae Adams, okay? You know, halfway through the season, you're getting text messages from your boys. You fucking suck. You know, thanks for the donation. Because you're 1-6 after week 7 because you've been pick 8. You know, you finished last 3 years in a row because you haven't picked higher than 5 all every season. And so it just becomes monotonous. You got these guys that pick their draft order a month before the season starts, you know. Right. How boring is that, sitting around mapping out your draft? You know, pick 3, pick 23, pick 33. You know, you can fucking map out the whole thing. Why even show up? Just mail your picks in. Send it by carrier pigeon. Fucking email. Who cares?
Do you rely on the USA Today to come out on Monday morning to get all your stats?
No, I don't.
Things have changed. Fantasy football changed.
Yeah. Look, PPR. PPR is a revolution, right?
Absolutely.
Put that fucking fantasy football index down. Sorry, listeners,
but Darren
has his fantasy football index, still buys it. It's $10. It's a ripoff. You can find the same information online. But back in the day, the fantasy football index was the go-to magazine. I'll give you that. But let's look at the evolution of fantasy football.
It
was touchdowns only. No yardage, right? Then it went to yardage. Then it went to PPR. You know, back in the day, Mo Williams was your MVP in a touchdown-only league. 6 rushes, 4 yards, and 4 touchdowns. He got stuffed at the line twice. He got 4 fucking touchdowns on 6 rushes. Mo Williams.
Mark Bavaro was a 3rd-round pick every week.
Yeah, exactly.
2 catches, 8 yards, 2 touchdowns.
So fantasy football has evolved.
As should you.
Correct. Right, the empty 6.
Empty 6. So, and what I think he's talking about here is the hybrid 88. You've coined that phrase.
I think I did. The auction draft is now, in our opinion, the superior draft. It's a superior way to do things in our world of fairness. It's the fairest way to do things, honestly. Everyone has the same chance to buy the same players. All right, if you're pick 10, you're not getting McCaffrey. If you want Christian McCaffrey and Tyreek Hill on your roster, you're going to get them.
You control your destiny. You don't let the ping pong balls control your draft.
That's right. The ping pong ball, the name out of the hat, whatever, however you do it.
Correct. If you want Saquon Barkley and say Christian McCaffrey, there's no way you can get those two guys together unless you're doing some other. If you're doing a snake draft, it's just not possible that you're going to get any. And if you show me a league where you're getting those two guys, I want in your league next year because I will destroy that league every single time. If you're drafting that poorly, can I be in? Number one, okay, and number two. Actually, get off my fucking podcast.
D, we got a list of guys we don't want our podcast. We'll get to our list of guys we don't want listening next week because the list is growing by the day.
Oh.
I text you every day. You text me every day. How about this? How about this guy? Right. But anyway, so back to auction drafting, more fair. It is balanced. But on the flip side, you've got to pay attention. You've got to have nerves of steel. You got to have brass balls. You know, are you willing to pump up the bidding and risk getting stuck with a player you don't want? Are you willing to wait for 30, 40 players to come out before you buy one? You know what I mean? There's various strategies there when it comes to auction drafting. So what we're going to do now is I'm going to take you through draft day, and then I'm going to turn it over to D. I'm going to talk to him about strategy because I know he's over the 25 years we've been doing this, he's employed various auction strategies. Tough guy to figure out. But draft day morning, you got to do a couple things, all right? If you're hosting the draft, you're going to get the beer, all right? You're going to get the Jackass jug, which, by the way, is a great concoction of whatever shot the host wants to make, okay? And the way the Jackass jug gets drank is by you being a fucking idiot. Yeah. Let's say you throw out a player that's already been thrown out there, Jackass jug. Let's say you draft a player who's out for the year, Jackass jug. Let's say you pick your kicker in the third round. Or let's say you buy and pay money for a defense. Jackass jug is coming your way. So be prepared and be fucking smart. All right. So you got your Jackass jug. You're going out to get beers. Now the beer on our draft day is Rolling Rock. Got a great story here, D. You know, you'll remember this. So I go out one draft morning looking for Rolling Rocks. Going up and down the aisles of various store places. I'm getting so fucking pissed off. So I call up D. He answers and I'm in a rage. I just say, dude, I can get a fucking pumpkin spice lemon zest shandy, but not a fucking Rolling Rock. Click. Remember that, D?
Yeah, it was on a fucking end cap in fucking August. Who's got fucking pumpkin beer on an end cap in August? Fuck you, Jackson.
Exactly right.
Why don't you put your Christmas decorations out right now?
No, you know? Shit. What are you, Walmart? So anyway, have your beers, have your Jackass jug, get the food ready. But the two most important things on auction draft day are the auction board and the auctioneer. Okay, so auction board, you need a big board with 8 rounds on one side of it and 9 through 16 on the other side. Your 8 rounds, you're going to have squares for each player. And then within those squares, you need 2 other squares, okay? Because in the one square in the upper left, you're going to write in what you paid for the player. Actually, the auctioneer is going to do it. And then in the box in the lower right is going to be how much money is left. D, how important is it for owners, if they want to win, to pay attention to that lower right-hand box, that box with money left?
It's beyond important right there because, I mean, first of all, you got to watch other people because you get caught up in the bidding. It's very exciting. And let's just face it, when the Jackass jug is going around, the beers are going around, my math skills deteriorate quickly, as does everybody else. around the room. Yeah. There's always someone, you can't bid on him.
Your math is worse than you trying to pronounce deteriorate.
Yes, it is. Almost as bad as our auctioneer every year who can't spell a name like for anything. It's unbelievable.
So speaking of the auctioneer, the second most important part of the day is the auctioneer. Now, you don't need some hot 20-year-old Hooters chick, okay?
Doesn't hurt.
You need someone more like Berta. Berta from 2 and a Half Men, right? Yeah. Tell it like it is. Don't take any shit from anybody and lay down the law because the auctioneer has to be decisive. If there are two bids coming in just close to each other, she's got to decide who had the final bid. But D, I want you to go back to the money for a second. So why is it important to look at how much money each owner has left and what they can bid, et cetera?
It's part of the strategy as well. And that's what I look to. Like you're with the auction, you know, not only are you looking at your own money to see what I have left, how much you're going to spend on different players. You know, it's important, like a good poker player, you're reading the room and you're reading what everybody else has. Everybody's up there. You know, I mean, okay, if I throw a quarterback out there, is everybody going to jump on a quarterback right now? Are the quarterbacks about to go on a run? Or are they not going to go on a run? Or who do I think can get to spend some money? Or I look down at the guy that hasn't spent any money yet and go, okay, what's he waiting on and who is he waiting on? Is he waiting on one of those big names to come out? Is he waiting on the same big name that I'm waiting to come out?
Right.
Come out and go, oh, shit. Do I tease him? Do I throw that guy out there in hopes that he's not going to do it? But, I mean, I think part of the biggest part of the draft to me is you got to look at it like a big poker game. And you're reading that room, and, you know, you got to know who your homer teams are. You know what I mean? Is that guy going to be able to lay off him? Has you know, and you're going back to years past. You know, we got guys in our draft. They bid on the same guys. You know, if I throw Julio Jones out there right now, I know who you're going to say is going to take him. He's going to bid on him no matter what. It doesn't matter. You know Jim is going to.
Yeah, we got a guy who's had Julio Jones 5 years in a row.
5 years in a row.
Right.
You know what I mean? And nothing against it.
Yeah, we got a guy who's going to take five years in a row. But we can get that person to overpay for a Julio Jones.
That's my point. Right? So another guy who's a big Buffalo Bills fan, I know when I throw Josh Allen out there, he's going to pay money for him. He's just going to pay money. But I got to know when to throw him out there. I don't want to give away early on and everybody go, oh, there's a lot of quarterbacks out there now. I wouldn't throw him out there for a little while till I want him to spend more money on somebody that I see coming up that I want. I got to get Josh Allen off the board because I know that this guy has more money than me, and I know I can get him to bid on Josh Allen.
The only question becomes then, when do you stop the bidding? Because you got to read that guy, and you know he wants Josh Allen, but he's not going to pay a certain price for him. So if you get up to $50, you know, is he going to go 51? And are you going to go 52 after he goes 51? There's that pressure of getting stuck with a guy that you don't want.
That's my point. I could just be irritated to hell, but like, are you pissed off that you got Josh Allen for $13? I'm not. If he stalls out and you get him for 13, okay. You know what I mean? That's awesome.
I'd be pissed off. I was trying to play the game to get him to go for as much money as possible, and I paid fucking $51 for him. You know, trying to get that guy to take bid him for 52.
Well, that's my point.
Whack his budget.
It's at 50. Do you say 51 and risk getting caught like that? See, that's why I said you got to be able to live with it. I know if I say 51, I can't live with that. So I stop playing the game.
No.
When it starts to get to the point of there's a difference between stoking the fire,
yeah,
and just being reckless.
That's right.
Seriously.
That's right. So a couple strategies there. Do you want to stoke the fire a little bit? Do you want to throw out a player that you know is going to get bid up because there's certain fans of that player in the room? There are certain homers in the room. Also, do you want to throw out a player that you think you can get on the cheap? So those are some strategies you might want to employ. One other strategy that's out there is throwing out position players that you have no intention of taking. Personally, I'll give you a little insight. I throw out quarterbacks and tight ends all the time. Not every time, but all the time, because I know I'm not paying for one of those ever. I just don't want to pay for a quarterback. I don't want to pay for a tight end. So I get other people to spend their money on them.
I wouldn't say ever.
Not ever. No, not ever. But I'm not going to pay $50 for Josh Allen. I mean, that's it.
I think what you're saying, you're not going to get caught. You're not going to get caught stoking the fire on a quarterback or a tight end. You're not going to bid that much money on it.
I want the other owners to pay for quarterbacks and tight ends, so there's more wide receivers and running backs for me to buy to get depth in my roster.
Depth.
That's really why I do it in total candor. Okay. All right. So it's draft day. We've got our auctioneer. She's very important. He's very important. Whoever you have it, very important. They're making that final decision on who's bought. You got your room set up. The way this works is you get $100 for eight players. Now, I'm going to tell you that they don't it doesn't average to $12 a player. Okay, so get that out of your mind right now. Okay. Also, one other thing owners need to get out of your mind is those values that you see in any magazine, on any website, throw those fucking things out the window. Okay, because once the first player is bought, all the numbers suck. Those numbers are for if that's the first player thrown out, you know, because if Christian McCaffrey is not thrown out to the 20th or 30th player, he's not going for $50. You know, he's not. Okay, there'll be a lot of players out there that go for $1, a lot of players out there that go for under 10 that are big, big values. So I would not pay attention to those value sheets. The draft changes by the minute, by the second, actually.
Right.
Okay, it's very fluid. There's a ton of moving parts. Those values, ignore them, okay? And if you have D, let me ask you this, to wrap it up, D, do you have a plan? A specific plan? Do you have a player that you target when you go into the draft, or how do you approach the auction?
A couple of things that I do. Now, number one, we'll get just real quick, get back to what you were saying right there. Those point values that you see out there, the best way that I can explain it to you, and I've explained it to other people a million times like this, is best case scenario. Like that, if everything was a perfect draft, which I promise you, it won't be. And every year I go into my draft, and I think, oh man, I'm gonna get these two guys. I usually have two or three guys targeted from each position. But the last three auctions, my strategy has fallen completely apart by the way the people have been thrown out in the draft. They were way too early. Yeah. Everybody came out way too early, and I was like, fuck, I thought some of these guys would be there after people have spent money, and everybody's just blowing money on these guys. So I've had it to change on the fly, which I love.
And you have to be able to change on the fly, right? Would Mike Tyson gets credit for the quote. I don't know if you said it, but, you know, everyone has a plan so they get punched in the face.
Punch in the face, you know? Exactly right.
You know, well, I think Mike Tyson said it. I think he said faith.
Everyone's got a plan to get punched in the face.
Punch in the faith. The faith. Right. And that describes auction drafting pretty much to a T. You know what I mean? You got a plan when you go in, but then something happens, you know, and but there's always some great action going on. You got to pay attention. You got to be able to think on the fly, all those sorts of things. D, let's talk about some news this week. What does Travis Etienne's injury, how does that affect James Robinson? I say it affects James Robinson like a Diet Coke would affect a sumo wrestler. The Jaguars are going to suck, and that's just it. Okay. You know what I mean? What do you think? Let me tell you this. He ranked 27th.
He's got to be top 15.
He's 15th. He's 15th. So he goes up 12 spots because of ATN's injury. Do you agree with that or what?
I do. I do agree with it. Because, I mean, look who's – when you go after him, I mean, you're starting talking about guys that are backfields that aren't – they aren't the solo back. You're committee, backfield by committee. I'm going to say this guy, but you love him. Kareem Hunt. You know what I mean? Like, I think Chubb is the man there.
Dude. 1,100 yards and 10 shots. Okay, Miles Sanders, right. He's better than Miles Sanders, but they're two shitty teams. I mean, that's a perfect comparison. Miles Sanders is 23.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know how James Robinson vaults up that far. He was number 7 overall last year, scoring running back. He was number 7 at the end of the year.
Yes.
But he took the league by storm, undrafted free agent. You know, they got plenty of tape on him now.
I was going to say, I don't think anybody was ready for him. Nobody was ready for him last year. And nobody planned for him.
No. And I'm a defensive coordinator. I'm going to make Trevor Lawrence and LaVisca Chenault beat me. I'm going to put 8 guys in that box and you know, bottle up James Robinson.
Some of his games, too, were against some weak defenses. I'm just going to say that. You know what I mean? Even though the Jaguars are bad.
Sure. Sure.
They didn't have a tough schedule. Nobody prepared for him.
Yeah. Here's another consideration, too. So they're going to suck. They're going to be down a lot. I think that takes away from James Robinson. He's not a pass catching back, so to speak. Might maybe catch 30 balls. So I think they're going to be out of games, going to be slinging it the second half, and that's going to, James Robinson's not going to be even heard from. That's something to consider, owners. If you're in an auction draft, I wouldn't pay more than $10 for him.
I'd say he's a third back or flex option at best.
Flex.
I don't.
If the matchup is right that week.
I don't see him even as a strong 2. I really don't. I would
no.
Not that I'm going to have Kareem Hunt on my team, but I'm just saying I would.
Kareem Hunt. I think you think Hunt's a flex. I think he's a solid number 2. 1,100 yards, 10 touchdowns. 11 touchdowns
on
last
my
year.
Opinion, my list. I think Kareem Hunt is a flex, but I also think Josh Jacobs is a solid 2 when nobody else thinks he is right now. And go ahead and write that one down too. Because
right.
At the end of the year, I think Josh Jacobs is going to have a much bigger year. I don't think Kenyon Drake is going to have the effect on. He's going to take some carries away from him. I'm not stupid. But, I don't think he's going to have quite the effect. Josh Jacobs had a great year as a rookie. Fantastic year. And,
yeah.
I don't even understand why Gruden really was bringing him. Because are they just maybe trying to protect him from a Gurley-like situation where they're just they're running him too much and they don't want to run him as much and blow him out?
Right.
Or,
I mean, do you think Chris Carson's better than he is? J.K. Dobbins, you know, Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
I like Dobbins.
DeAndre Swift.
I like Dobbins.
Are those guys all better? I know, but are they all better than Josh Jacobs? I don't know. I would have Josh Jacobs probably in a top 20, not outside the top 20.
I see. J.K.
Dobbins has to compete with Lamar Jackson. So I don't, any Baltimore running game goes through Lamar Jackson. Everybody else is secondary, if you ask me.
Right. So, like Kyler Murray. Kyler Murray's the runner in Arizona.
Right. Chase Edmonds, I think, is – where the hell is he on my list here?
He's
down on the list, too. Where Chase Edmonds number 22. He's one spot behind Josh Jacobs.
In the 20s. And I'll take – to me, night and day, Jacobs-Edmonds, there's a big gap. I don't see a one tier,
same here.
One player gap. Right
and there. Those guys will get auctioned, and they'll probably go mid-teens, depending. But, again, it depends on who needs what when. That's why you can't predict this shit.
Too. Here's the strategy for me. I'm going to throw out Clyde Edwards-Helaire. because I don't want him. Yeah. I'll tell you right now, I'm not faking you out or anything like this. I don't want Edwards-Helaire. There's too much going on in Kansas City for him to be.
They haven't run the ball since Priest Holmes. What? They haven't run the ball since Priest Holmes.
They haven't run the ball since Christian Okoye.
Right, the Nigerian nightmare. Okay, seriously. Exactly. Priest Holmes had a great fantasy year, but they haven't run the ball since then. And why would you when you got Kelce, Tyreek Hill, Patrick Mahomes? You got plenty of guys to go around. Mecole Hardman, blah, blah, blah. So there's a little fantasy insight on a couple players for you guys. But the real reason we're here is to get you guys to switch over to auction-style drafting. It is just better, more challenging, and way more fun. So now that you're set up for draft day, now that we've called you pussies 2 weeks in a row, okay, next week we're gonna talk about more specific players, what we think they will go for, what you should, you know, try to bid, try to how to set up your roster, things like that.
Ooh, it's gonna be good next week.
Yeah, I think next week will be good. We'll call you. We'll continue to call our listeners pussies. We'll try to alienate as many people as possible and get down to a small group. You know, ESPN has over a million teams drafted already.
How?
Why?
How?
You know what that means? There's a million pussies out there. But why? ATN got hurt. I mean, already. You know, Cam Akers. Why are you drafting? Why? You got to draft as close to the season as possible.
Right.
I mean, as close to the season as possible.
We basically wait until all the preseason games are over.
Yeah. I mean, all the cuts have been made. All the injuries have been announced. Not only are you drafting in the most boring way possible, then you gotta wait a month for the fucking season to start. God damn, I just don't get it. You know, study up, draft as close as possible to the start of the season. Then there's only fucking 4 days to go, right? You draft on a Sunday, season starts Thursday, boom. 4 fucking days, you're ready to go. I just don't
understand. I get it. Like, nope. 1 year, oh my God, your wife has to get married on this certain day. And you guys got to draft a week early or something like that. But the reason's got to be something huge. Are you guys setting up your draft? This are a million of you.
I might choose for bachelorhood again if it came down to draft day and getting married. I might have to say, see you later.
She's going to listen to this.
Luckily, my wife is a big fantasy football. Yeah, Run DMZ. She sits right next to me draft day, so my wife is very understanding of my fantasy. She let me build a house based on fantasy drafts. So there you go.
It is an epic house just for that. It really is.
All right, that's going to about wrap it up for us here on the second episode of the Steel Apples Fantasy Football Podcast. You might have noticed a theme going on. The first title of the first episode was called It's So Easy. And the second episode is entitled Around and Round. Might be picking up on a theme. We'll get more into our theme next week. Once again, thanks for listening, all you pussies out there. Please expect to be called a pussy next week. But we'll take it just a little easier on you if you're back in week three. You can check us out on Spotify, Google Music, Apple Music, and Stitcher. Please hit up our website at steelapples.com and hit us up on our Twitter page at steelapples1275. Next week, talk a little bit of quarterback, talk about the wanted man. Who is that going to be? Mahomes, Josh Allen, Kyler Murray? We'll talk next week. But until then, steal apples when brass balls just won't do.
See ya.